The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Here, did you write up Deshaun Hamilton?
Yeah. Good route runner. He was a guy that I didn't love on tape. Then he was really, really good at the Senior Bowl. But I didn't like him as much as some others. But he's a really good route runner. And they added him in free agency. Here's what I said about, let me see, Deshaun Hamilton. But, yeah, he was a fourth-round guy. I think I put a fourth-round grade on him. 2018, I had a 6th, 7th round projection. And I came up. That was initially. I came up during the draft process. Four-year starter and one of the team leaders who helped turn Penn State's fortunes around. Big slot who lacks shiftiness from the slot, but is able to uncover.
He's on some good Penn State teams.
Yeah, but is able to uncover with discipline, consistent routes, much like his athletic ability. His production was solid, but nothing special. While size is a bonus for teams who like big bodies in the slot, how he runs and tests could go a long way into where he gets drafted. He could land on the back end of a roster, but needs to be the right team.
Is this the right team?
Yeah, I like that. I saw it yesterday. They added him as a free agent. I liked it. He's a solid player, good route runner, more of a standard slot. You know, they tried the QT stuff. They've had kind of gimmicky slots in here that haven't really worked out. I like Deshaun Hamilton is here as one of the Band-Aid. You know, they had a bunch of, like, wide receiver fours on this roster last year. At first, I was hoping they were threes, but it's really – and they're bringing Chris Conley back, by the way. But Deshaun Hamilton's a guy who will compete for slot. Looks not bad. This is a one-year deal. It's just, hey, compete for a roster spot. It's not even guaranteed, I don't think. So it may be a guaranteed contract, but he may just be a Band-Aid player is what we may be looking at. Have you really taken a look at the free agents who are still available?
There's some...
The NFL free agents?
There's still some good players out there. You want you some Odell? You need some Odell?
No, not the guy off the...
What are you talking about?
I'm not the guy off the ACL tear?
Yeah.
No, I'm not really looking for that. I want to show you what's left on the free agency market. It's a little harder to find right now, but the names on there are just like a who's who in terms of who's still available. I'll pull it up for you. It's staggering to see. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney, and what I'm wondering, are these guys going to just wait it out? Is that what they're doing right now?
Why not? I mean, what are they going to do?
Well, the money's not going to get any better. Here's who's out there right now.
Well, how do you know they're getting the offers?
Here's some guys who are out there. Tyrann Mathieu, Bobby Wagner, Jadeveon Clowney, Odell Beckham Jr., J.C. Treader, Stephon Gilmore, Eric Fisher, Akeem Hicks. Like Fisher, I'm not touching, but Akeem Hicks, Jarvis Landry, Larry Ogunjobi, which he had, didn't he have a deal and then it fell apart, or maybe I'm thinking of, here it is. It's him. 3 years. He had a 3-year, $40.5 million deal with the Bears that fell through because of a failed physical. That's a bad sign for him. Dwayne Brown is still out there. Gronk, Will Fuller, Daryl Williams, Terrell Edmonds, Joe Schobert, Calais Campbell, Melvin Ingram, Ndamukong Suh, Justin Houston, Jerry Hughes, Patrick Peterson, Jackrabbit Jenkins, a.k.a.
Most of these guys that you're talking about are a little bit older. And
yeah, Joe Hayden. Yeah, I mean, they're all over their 30s, and there are a lot of names. As a matter of fact, I mean, Joe Schobert's 28, but Terrell Edmonds is 25, just totally overdrafted by the Steelers, and he could end up back there. But, yeah, you're right. A lot of these guys are their names. They're jarring to hear the names available, but the fact is they're over 30. They might be more name than game right now.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. But it's still crazy to hear. Jadeveon Clowney's not 29 years old. His career could be coming to an end. Not this year, but he hasn't taken a second contract. He hasn't taken a second contract from anyone that's offered. He's waited for some other money, and now the money's gone. Jadeveon has been the anti-Kirk Cousins. He's played on a series of short-term contracts, and it's not like they're bad money, but he has not maximized his potential. Part of it is because he hasn't put into his game what he needs to. And for people who don't believe it, tell me, show me the contract that shows you that people believe in Jadeveon Clowney. Nobody does.
Nobody
in the league believes in Jadeveon Clowney. And Seattle tried to make him an offer. He turned it down, and now I think his career is basically it's all going to be short-term stuff with Clowney.
All right, let's get Javon in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, Javon.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, I might be late on this, but I was reading that article in The Athletic about Urban Meyer and some of the other things that came out about him in Jacksonville. And I was just thinking, man, what do you think this guy got away with all those years in college with bringing a toxic environment? I know a lot of times people, you know, college players about transferring, but really transferring is the only mechanism these guys have when they get involved with situations with coaches such as Urban Meyer, you know, who try to play mind games with guys like that, you know, and try to take their livelihood from them, man. So, you know, I always want to just kind of stand up for the guys, especially with the transfer portal nowadays. Things are a little bit different. But back then, before I was the NIL stuff, that's really the only mechanism guys had to get away from environments like that. And I think not enough was put on coaches and their involvement in transferring guys and stuff like that. But Urban Meyer, man, he's a real scumbag. Love the show, fellas. Appreciate it.
Yeah. It was... So I heard stories during draft process about some players. One of the players, I got to go all the way back. I'll tell you who he was. One of the players was kicked out of school. He said he got addicted to Molly. And I did have somebody tell me he wasn't the only guy on that team. Like there was, like Urban. The question I guess you could ask, which is not what you asked, but I'll rephrase some of that. You're asking about guys who wanted to transfer out. I don't know that there's a lot of guys who try to transfer out of Ohio State, but I'll flip it on you a little bit. How much did Urban let guys get away with over there? We already know about when he tried to have Zach Smith. Was it Zach Smith, right? The assistant coach?
Yep.
John, we know what he is accused of letting him get away with. So now the question becomes, what about other coaches, players, and There has been a concern about that in the past was in some scouting circles is that Ohio State has been a big party school in the past, a really big party school. So I think your question there's a little bit more to your question than maybe you wanted to get into, because some of it is also the players are allowed to do more than you probably thought they were going to. I'm pulling up the player's name right now. Do you remember this guy? Let's see. He had to leave and go to Western Kentucky. I've got to find him. I want to say maybe he's 2006. Shalik Calhoun. Noah Spence. Do you remember Noah Spence? It was 2006.
Yeah.
Noah Spence. And that was a little bit of a – Ohio State was known as a party school behind the scenes with scouts. Like, and Noah was one of the guys who ended up leaving because he said while he was there, he got addicted to ecstasy, to Molly, and to party drugs and stuff like that. And so he had to get cleaned up. Now, he was drafted I think – is he still with the Bengals? Yeah, he's still with the Bengals right now. He played at Ohio State and in Eastern Kentucky, not Western Kentucky. Eastern Kentucky. Did he play this year?
Yeah.
So he's been with Tampa. They drafted him in the second round. He lasted there 3 years and was gone. Washington for a year. Washington for a little bit, 19. Then the Saints. 19-20 than Cincinnati this year. So he's actually still in the league. His testing was he ran a 4.8 40-yard dash, which is not good. Speaking of that, get to Kyle Hamilton in a second. But, yeah, I remember when he was in his college years, he was suspended after another failed drug test. So he tested positive for MDMA, which is Molly, and in ecstasy. In September 2014, he was suspended indefinitely after another failed drug test. He was ruled permanently ineligible by the Big Ten. He failed so many drug tests, the Big Ten had to kick him out. And so he transferred to Eastern Kentucky. So, you know, there was a question about, is Urban letting these guys get away with bad behavior too, Javon? So it's even broader than you brought up. And so I say that because Art Briles, we know he took his bullets for what happened. But what you talk about is there's going to be some stories now start to come out about Urban. And we had one in The Athletic that you're referencing. But you may start to see more come out as people start to say, you know what, I'm not going to sit on this information I had before. It wouldn't shock me if you see more Ohio State stuff start coming out.
Yep. All right, 914 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Change the OT rule in the NFL. Will it happen? They're talking about it today. We will talk about it on the other side,
hey,
right
also,
here on ESPN 97.5.
On the other side, I want to get into draft talk because Kyle Hamilton, not only will Kyle Hamilton not be a Houston Texan at 3, the question now becomes, is he going to be available at 13?
Wow.
Will he fall that far?
We'll talk about that. Wow. That is a major development. But right now, you are talking about a little bit of bubbly.
Why would I? Which would be what?
Well, some
tequila
cocktails. Yeah, a little bubbly.
Yeah, I'm not talking about champagne.
Oh,
there's no bubbles in Maestro.
Maestro.
Maybe you didn't
and
hear.
It's Dobel.
They're not in it. It's not 11 generations of champagne makers over here. They're not in the south of France at some Provence. They're making tequila, people. That's what Maestro Dobel's make. It's 11 generations. Pure agave is used, 100% pure agave. They follow the techniques that the generations have passed down and the techniques you need to follow to create, for example, Cristalinos. The Cristalino, and theirs is called the Diamante, the Cristalino is a specific type of tequila. It's a very specific variety, and they created it, and people followed along, and they're now other people copycatted, of course, copies. But Maestro Dobel is at the forefront, and that's why people try to copy them. They've got an amazing Añejo and Añejo extra. Their Reposado is phenomenal. But I don't think enough is talked about with the silver and the smoked silver. If you like a great margarita, the silver elevates your margarita to a different level. And the smoked silver gives it a certain level of smokiness that I think makes it even more appealing. I'm a big fan of the smoky cocktails, and that's something you can find with Maestro Dobel. You can find a variety of different types, varieties of tequilas, and Maestro Dobel is doing it the right way every single time. That's why there's something for everyone with Maestro Dobel. It is a quality tequila that you can be sure that you can put up on your top shelf and enjoy it for yourself. Wherever fine liquors are sold, make sure you look for the Añejo Extra Cristalino they have. Oh my gosh, it's the finest tequila I've ever tasted. And I've tasted some great tequilas. That one is going to blow you away in a very distinctive packaging. Check them out wherever fine liquors are sold. It's my good friends over at Maestro Dobel.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, so the NFL is looking at overtime today. Will they change it, or will they just stay the same? Because they've got the chance to do it. There is so much clamor. Two teams have proposed that each team gets at least one possession. The Titans have proposed that if the team that gets the kickoff scores a touchdown, that they have to also convert the two-point conversion. I don't know about that.
I'm all right with it. I think two-point conversion needs to be used a lot more for deciding things.
Yeah, but to win the game?
It's a shootout.
Why not give both teams a one opportunity? I just don't see it. I don't understand.
Well, Mike Tomlin said, we don't care. We're not scared. Mike Tomlin's down with keeping it the same way. He said, I don't. He's one of the first ones I've heard say, nah, we're not scared. Make it a sudden death.
Until he doesn't win the coin toss and loses that way. I don't know that they've lost that way, have they? Was that Tebow pass that? Might have been.
Well,
the Tebow pass might have been
Denver,
that.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Because remember, the kicker kicked a 60-something, like kicked a monster to tie it up. And then Tebow hit you with this.
Yeah, Tebow
hit you with.
Because he loves God. Don't be making fun of it.
He just hit you with that. And then people started doing Tebows.
Yeah, well, because he thanked God.
It's kind of like this when you do little.
No, he didn't. He didn't do little.
He ran over somebody. He got up and he did little.
Okay, let's not make fun of people thanking God for good fortune. Remember when Tebow
was a tight end this year? That was cool.
He was the best.
Oh man, what a great tight end!
No, so do they change the rule or not?
No. You know how the league is. They're like they want to, and like just came up a little
for
short.
Whatever reason they have. We just decided.
God, this sucks. Let's just keep it the same.
We were two votes short.
Like you could literally just do something that does involve. Like it could be something minor, like the 2-point conversion. I'm a fan of just saying, hey, let's you both get a crack at the 50-yard line, and you both have to convert 2-point. You know, the first team can decide if they want to do one or two. The second team must do two if they score a touchdown. And at the 50, if you stop them, if you go three and out, you can't get it. You can try your 50. You can try your if you go, because you'll go four and out. If you don't get it after four downs, all the other team has to do really is get one first down and somebody can kick one of those chip shot 55 yarders.
Because,
you know, the 55 yarder is now a chip shot, but the extra point is a coin flipper. What? I see so many missed extra points now.
Yeah.
I might see more 50-yard field goals in a game than I see. I may see more misses of extra points relative to percentage. I may see two missed extra points in a game and three made 50-yard field goals.
I say they're going to change it. But there's been such...
To what, though?
Clatter. I think it's going to be that both teams get a possession.
But you have to keep going. Like, what else?
No, that's it. That's the proposal. Well, both teams get at least one possession.
I think they'll include that you have to go for 2-point conversion.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, what about Kyle Hamilton?
So Kyle Hamilton, Daniel Jeremiah, so he was texting me the other day about an agent is using a person in the media, basically. Because here's what will happen. I'm luckily don't, like I'll have agents who I don't know come at me, and sometimes agents I know, and they'll tell you results from a pro day, and you can't really trust them because they're going to say the best things that they possibly heard, and that's probably not going to be the official result. So I wait to get the official results. And if you don't know the agent very well, for sure, they will gas you up with basically fake 40 times. They can't really fake the broad jump or the vertical, but they can fake a 40 and they just say, oh, I just talked to a scout who had this. Okay. And so you get that. So, me and DJ the other day, Daniel Jeremiah, we were talking about how, you know, this one agent sent him information and he knew that it was probably not accurate because, well, he had actually talked about the same player and with other scouts, and he said, what's your 40 times? So he had the 40 times, what the teams had with their hand watch, and this scout and this agent comes in way lower, and he knew, he's like, okay, this isn't accurate. And then he sees another media member post that information. He's like, and saying that they got that from sources at the pro day. He's like, that's so bad when that happens. Well, anyway, and I bring that up because I need to – set up this. Somebody on Twitter made the comment, and I see this a lot, where they make a comment about, oh, yeah, rumor has it, or, you know, I'll pull up what Daniel Jeremiah said right here. I was told. So, this guy, so somebody named, Notre Dame safety Kyle Hamilton. It was actually our website, the NFL draft, NFL.com's website, NFL draft, said Notre Dame safety Kyle Hamilton, number 3 prospect in the draft, clocks a 4.56 unofficial 40 at Pro Day after posting 449. Okay, so they're retweeting a guy named Andrew Groover. Who the hell is this guy? Senior assignment editor at NFL Media. So, Andrew, so once again, my company. I'm told Notre Dame football safety Kyle Hamilton ran a 4.56 40 at his pro day. So somebody from NFL Media was told that, probably by an agent. NFL Draft says Notre Dame safety Kyle Hamilton, number three prospects in the draft, clocks 4.56 unofficial 40 after posting a 4.59 official at NFL Scouting Combine. Remember, that's on a faster surface in Indianapolis. Because it's our inside our country, our company, I feel like DJ. So then a guy named Big Game Bengal says, DJ said on his podcast, Kyle Hamilton actually ran much slower than this at his pro day, and the 40 time is being juiced. Daniel Jeremiah went on to respond to that, said, I was told he ran in the low 4.7s. Dane Brugler, who I do my podcast with, who is also highly reputable, he says, this is true. I was told 4.70 and 4.74 for Kyle Hamilton at the Notre Dame pro day. So what starts off as an unofficial 4.56 and makes its way all the way through Twitter is not even accurate. The right. accurate information is Kyle Hamilton ran a 4.7. Do you know what 4.7 does to all the other safety prospects? You're almost done. They're almost done with you. Because Kyle Hamilton, now he has an 11-foot broad jump. He has some special explosion numbers. But because Kyle Hamilton's Kyle Hamilton, he's not going to get buried in round three. But let me tell you something. He ain't going in the first seven picks. He may not go in the top 10 now. He may fall, and the Texans may have a shot at him at number 13 because this 4.7040 is going
to
bother.
And there's a
lot
of people that have Kyle Hamilton at number three to the Texans.
Yeah, and that's not happening.
That ain't happening. All right, when we come back, Paul Biancardi, we're talking from ESPN. We're talking a college basketball tournament. We've got some odds and whatnot that we got to show to him. But right now, Lance, you got to talk about your patio.
Texas Custom Patios. My wife asked me, I don't even know who she was texting. Somebody texted her, and she said, what's the official name of the company that did our patio, Steven? I said, that's Texas Custom Patios. Okay, thanks. She starts texting back. Texas Custom Patio, Steven Shell. I met him years ago. We used to play basketball against each other at the Y, and I knew I recognized him whenever I first talked to him about the patio. And, you know, since then, we've become buddies, and he is – he's a guy that is really, really specific about how to build the patios, about design, about build out, about how things are managed on site, which my wife, who is also the same type of personality quirk, she absolutely loved. He's going to make sure that it's done the right way. Whatever the price is he gives you, it's not going to change no matter what, even if they have to make corrections to whatever they did. And they're going to make sure that they get the very best materials so that you have a quality outdoor living space or outdoor kitchen that really adds value to your home, but more importantly, value to your quality of life. If you're spending the money to get this, you want to live your best life, and that's what they're going to do. Turn your backyard into an outdoor oasis. If you don't believe me, go to TexasCustomPatios.com and see the before and afters, and you're going to recognize the fact that you can get what you've always dreamed of right there in your own backyard. TexasCustomPatios.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Paul Biancardi joining us right now to talk college basketball. He's ESPN analyst, and he's here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to talk about what's going to happen this weekend. Paul, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate you being here, taking time with us in this busy time for you. Do you agree with Duke being the favorite going into this weekend?
I do. I think in terms of talent, they may be the most talented team in the NCAA tournament Final Four. And, you know, everybody's hot right now, but I think they're a sentimental favorite, and I think they're a betting favorite.
I last saw them play North Carolina, they weren't very good, but they've obviously gotten better since then. But is this a bad matchup for them, despite the earlier two wins? What North Carolina did to them on that big night on coaches last night, is that sticking with them? Maybe.
Of course, it's going to stick with them because it's still new. I mean, but that's also what propelled them to make this run in many ways. You saw how Coach K after the game come out and talk to his fans and former players and said it was unacceptable. And they played better in the ACC tournament. But once they beat Cal State Fullerton, they got some life, they got some confidence. But that Michigan State win really pushed them, you know, to play Texas Tech and Arkansas. And just beating Michigan State, which is such a good defensive team, it really helped them for the next two games. It is a tough matchup. Forget the scores. Forget the scores of the first two times they played. It's just you got a guy in the middle in Baycott and Williams. They offset each other in many ways. Williams is the shot blocker. Baycott, the great rebounder. You've got great matchups at every position. And the starting five of each, I mean, in my mind, it's really a wash. I mean, this game's going to come down to the very end.
That's one of the things that was kind of cool last time out is that North Carolina, I mean, I don't know. It felt like that Duke game was a springboard for what we're seeing right now for North Carolina, the way that they beat Coach K and that squad at Cameron. Four players with 20 points for North Carolina. And to me, this is one of the things that I think is the biggest wild card is that North Carolina can really step up at a variety of positions and have a big game from any or all of four starters in any particular game. And you just talked about the big man matchup. I mean, man, Baycott is really playing well right now and has for a while.
Yeah, I had a chance to call a North Carolina game in February, and they beat NC State pretty good. But what happened is they started to galvanize then. Don't forget, they lost at home to Pittsburgh, and it was kind of a blowout at the Dean Smith Center. And a lot of people had a lot of questions at that time about Hubert Davis, about these players, and they weren't really together on the same page. They played so well down the stretch in February, defensively. And Hubert Davis told me before the game, he said, look, if we can guard with a little bit more urgency, I'm not worried about our offense. We got five guys, just like you said, that can score 20 points. We just limit our turnovers, limit our bad shots, and play defense with urgency. He says, and we can beat anybody in the country. And now they're in a position to win two more games and be national champs.
How big a loss is Justin Moore for Villanova?
Well, of course it's a big loss. And it's a big loss because of the timing. You know, with injuries, you look at them and you hope that a coach has time to prepare without that player. That's not the case, really. A few days here and before the Final Four. But, you know, Jay Wright's program, it's like a Fortune 500 company where they have other people that can replace other people, and they beat you with their system. It's not one guy who's going to go out and make it happen for Villanova. They beat you with their defense and their offensive execution, offensive efficiency, free throw shooting, low turnovers. But obviously in terms of talent and having one extra, you know, excellent player, it's going to take away from, I think, their momentum a little bit.
Yeah.
And you feel so bad for Justin Moore to get an injury at this stage of his career. My heart goes out to him at this point.
I want to ask you about Caleb Love because he was a guy that had a game where he put on just an absolute show against UCLA. Was just in the second half, was just killing it from distance. But his entire body of work, he is a high-volume, low-make guy. And is there any chance that Hubert Davis is able to – I mean, he hasn't reeled him in up to this point, and he takes a high percentage of shot. I mean, a very high percentage of shots for being a guy who shoots 37% from the field. Is he a shoot-you-in, shoot-you-out player? Is there any way that they can control his volume of shots if it's not falling for him?
Yeah, not at this point. You can't change anything at this point. You are giving momentum. You are giving confidence. You are giving them a green light in many ways. But the key for Carolina, and I think Caleb Love figured it out, and R.J. Davis, play through Baycott first, and then you can get your second. What was happening to North Carolina, why they had games where they lost, is the guards would take it upon themselves to try to score maybe one or two passes and take it off the pick and roll without Bacot even touching the basketball. When it goes into Bacot, they make cuts, they space out, the ball goes inside out. They're finding, hey, I'm getting open shots now. And open shots are a lot easier to make than contested shots. So Caleb Love is a tough shot maker, no question about it. So the chemistry of playing through Bacot and even Brady Manek at times has really helped Caleb Love and R.J. Davis. And I think they're smart enough, old enough to figure it out. They know what success looks like right now. I don't think they're going to shy away from it. I don't think Hubert Davis is going to tell his guard right now, hey, you know, be careful the shots that you take. I think that will come during the game. But I think it's all green light right now. It's all about confidence. It's all about belief. It's all about those type of things as you get into the Final Four. I coached in a Final Four, and everybody believes that they can win. And so what you want to do is you want to add to that belief as a coach.
ESPN's Paul Biancardi with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Paul, you watch all kinds of college basketball. Here in Houston, we are interested in hopefully the top pick, or maybe the second or third pick in this NBA draft. Who is that you saw this year? Name a couple, three guys. Who are your favorites to be NBA-ready guys?
Oh, gosh. Switching gears here. I mean, I love Chet Holmgren. I've been a big Chet guy since I saw him in high school. You know, he's skinny, 7'1". You know he's a world-class shot blocker, which I think is so important in the game because it helps teams get into transition and points that defenses just can't cover. He's got skill like a small forward. And I'll tell you what, for a skinny dude, he's got an edge to him. He's got a toughness to him. So I like him a lot. I love Jabari Smith. I think those two guys, in my mind, are two guys for the top two spots. Smith is everything that you could ever want in a power forward in terms of physical tools, skill, and his character is off the charts, just like Chet. And then Paolo Banchero, in my mind, is third, and that's a heck of a third pick for this draft because, you know, he's the best guy right now in the NCAA tournament in terms of talent, and he could lead Duke to a national championship as a freshman, and he's got a great skill package and a power forward's body.
Ask about your guy, John.
How's Ivy? Where you got Ivy?
I love Ivy. I mean, we had him in our ESPN Top 100. He's a guy who's grown and developed at Purdue, and you know, I got him somewhere in the top 10. And when you start to look at the draft, they haven't really went outside the top three. Those guys, in my mind, are the top three. And after that, I'll get into it once the NCAA tournament's over.
Paul Biancardi with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Who you got cutting down the nets next Monday?
Okay, my sentimental favorite, I think, like most folks, are either love or hate Duke. And I love college basketball, so I want to see Duke and Coach K cut them down. But I really believe the way Carolina is playing, I think they're going to be national champs. And that's hard for me to imagine that a first-year coach is going to win a national championship because this is even a different level than the, you know, first round, Sweet 16, and Elite Eight. But I think those guys from Carolina are like on autopilot right now. And Duke is as well. And I think the winner of that game will win the national championship.
How did they come from an eight? Why were they so bad? And did you see a point where they flipped the switch?
Yeah, Carolina. It was chemistry issues. It was never talent, and it was defensive issues. They didn't commit to the defensive end. Meaning, no, they let people beat them off the dribble. You know, they weren't helping each other out. They weren't committed to the glass. They tightened all those things up. But I'm telling you guys right now, and on the offensive end, which is connected to your defense, that their shooting percentage went up because they made sure that Armando Bacot touched on the left block, the right block, at the elbows. They played through him. They had him come out and set ball screens. Then he would dive back inside. They made sure he touched the ball. I mean, the guy is shooting a high percentage, more double-doubles, I think, than any player in Carolina history. So this is a guy that you want to involve more in the offense. And when they did that, everybody else's offense seemed to come a lot easier.
Isn't it amazing? You know, we're here in Houston, obviously, and Houston does not have a big man, so to speak. And when it goes off the rails, it can go off the rails. When you have a big, there's something that acts as a stabilizer. And the way they use him, you talked about it a little bit in the matchup against Villanova. They did use him a lot on high screens. I mean, way out past the three-point line. And then he has such good hands. He's such a good athlete in terms of catching on the move that they can use him with with the pick and rolls and then use him there in short corner. And they're able to really he doesn't have to have just back to the basket game, which is, you know, a lot of bigs don't really have a true back to the basket right now. But he knows how to score from a variety of places, and he doesn't, when you say it goes through him, he's involved, but it's not like it's sticky in his hands, though.
No, and he's a great passer, and he's a willing passer, meaning he's willing to give the ball up to a cutter or to a weak side open three, and he's got great footwork, he's got a wide body. Now, he's going to struggle maybe at times because Mark Williams is a legit 7-1. He's the best shot blocker in the game along with Chet Holmgren. So he's going to have to learn how to score over length. He's got to get great position. The more Armando Bacot moves around, but I'm telling you guys this, I'll say as many people will listen, the more he touches the ball, the more Carolina's offense will have a better percentage, both from three and from inside at the two. And every time he touches the ball in the possession, it helps them get to the free throw line.
That's Paul Biancardi right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Paul, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Thanks for the insight.
Hey, you guys got a special coach down there in Calvin Sampson. Oh, what a remarkable job he did.
I saw two. Can you believe this? Two places that had the top 50 coaching jobs this year in college basketball, and Calvin Sampson wasn't on either of them.
Top 50?
50.
Well, I'll tell you what. When people are asking me who certain programs should hire, he was the first name.
Hey, keep our coach. Stop it, Paul.
This was before the Elite Eight run.
Stop it with our coach.
He ain't going nowhere. Stop, Paul.
Hey, man. Hey, all I'll tell you is this. We coached against Calvin Sampson when he was at Washington State, and we beat them in the NCAA tournament, got to know him since then. A fantastic coach, great person, and he's as good as anybody in this game, period.
Isn't he a coach's coach? Like, this is the coach that other coaches love watching.
Well, they love to watch the way that his teams play, that's for sure. All right. Hey, we appreciate it, Paul. Thanks for your time.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
All right. There's Paul Biancardi right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And here is Lance Zierlein talking about Craig Dayserf.
We're talking about cars. We're talking about trucks. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Chevy Silverado. You're looking for a Chevy Silverado pickup truck. Have you seen the new 2022? It looks awesome. It's got a brand new grill. Looks unbelievable. You can see the first ever all-electric Chevy Silverado is going to be available. You can reserve yours right now if you go online to LanceZCars.com. That's a really, really cool-looking vehicle as well. It's truck month. So right now, and that's winding down here, $1,000 accessory allowance. If you've been thinking about getting that truck, why don't you head in today? Why don't you start your car buying experience online at Lance Z Cars, LanceZCars.com. $1,000 towards the purchase of a new 2021-2022 Chevy Silverado 1500 LTD. And with eligible accessories, they've got something like that going on for you. The Chevy Equinox, that is an offer. But 0% financing on the 2022 Chevy Silverado 1500 LTD Crew Cab LT Texas Edition for very well-qualified buyers. So if you're looking for pickups, if you're looking for crossovers for SUVs, that's my spot over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Chevy, find new roads.
ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance, can I ask you a question?
Sure you can, Johnny.
If you're at a restaurant and you take away the gun from a gunman, okay, you save all the people in that restaurant.
Are you talking about the MMA fighter from here in Houston?
No.
You sure?
This is in San Jose.
Okay, because this happened at a sushi place here.
Well,
Raw.
It happened in San Jose, too. Oh, yeah. I heard that. About that, yeah.
You know how I found out? Channel 13's website.
Yeah, that's right. No, I heard about that. But do you think if you take away the gun from the gunman and you're walking out and holding the gun on him, that police should shoot you?
Well, no, I'd hope not.
I would hope not, but actually, that's what happened.
Wait, he's got the gun on the gunman?
And he got the
gun. And he walks out?
And he's backing out. Cops see him, and they shoot him.
Oh, no.
Hey! You see, no good deed goes unpunished. That's for sure. How about that? He saved everybody, and the cops shot him.
Yikes.
Would you want to move to Washington, D.C.?
Probably not, based on this segment being news of the weird.
Representative Madison Cawthorn says that D.C. is an orgy-filled, cocaine-fueled house of cards. Now do you want to move there?
Well, it was called House of Cards, and I did see some of that with
I wasn't crazy about their orgies, but...
Francis and his wife?
And his
and the bodyguard?
And the driver and bodyguard.
Hey, what are you doing there, Francis? Hey, life imitates art.
Francis. Do you want to move to D.C. now?
No, I mean, I didn't want to anyway. It's humid in D.C.
It really kind of is.
Bleep that place.
A dad has gone viral. He was wearing, and let me ask you if you would do this for your dog. You know how a dog's got to wear that cone so that he doesn't lick himself where he's injured?
Yeah.
Would you wear the cone just so the dog wouldn't feel lonely?
No.
There's a dad that wore the cone for the dog. Because the dog couldn't lick himself, so the dad put the cone on, so the dog thought it was, I think that
okay,
is.
Okay, was it on
see,
TikTok?
You're not.
Which platform
you're
was
not
it on?
As.
Was it on TikTok?
Yes. Yeah, it was on. He'd gone viral, okay? Yeah. You know who else is going viral? An OnlyFans star. She's made over $100,000.
This should just be called, Guess What OnlyFans People Make. This segment should be.
$100,000 taking COVID tests on camera.
I could have done that.
I know, right? But you
no
don't
way
look like
I get
her.
Paid for that.
No, no one wants.
All right, I can tell my wife. I don't want her to have to do all the other stuff. But can you just do COVID tests?
Could you please do a COVID test
in a bikini,
Nicole?
Or something? I'm not asking you to do anything other than just take COVID tests. Oh, you don't want to take COVID tests? Okay. I guess you don't want $100,000 either.
When was the last time you were in a Burger King?
It's been a while. Sounds like it's going to be longer based on this segment.
Do you want to go to a Burger King in Miami Gardens, Florida?
No.
Well, no. Apparently,
I'm familiar with Miami Gardens.
A Burger King employee in Florida shot a customer after he threw mayonnaise in her face. Do you think... That mayonnaise in the face.
And the woman shot the man?
And the woman behind the counter.
The woman
the
pulled
employee,
out her strap?
She was strapped behind the counter.
No, I'm not going to that.
She opened fire on him.
I'm not going to.
Do you think that if you don't like your order at Burger King, you should be shot at?
No, I don't. No, that's not enough.
No, that's not nearly enough. How about a Georgia man banned from flying Southwest? Do you think it's appropriate to punch the gate agent in the face?
No. Now, we don't know what the gate agent said.
What did he say? Okay. Do you think Will Smith should be banned from Southwest Airlines? Because he slapped. He didn't really punch. What about, hey, you were at your sister's wedding, right?
Yeah.
What about this brother? He laced his sister's wedding cake with marijuana and got everybody high at the reception. Do you think that's a pretty good idea?
No. That's one you might want to wait. So were there charges pressed?
No.
Well, how did it come up?
That's what
they do. How do we know? How do we know it happened?
Well, it's in Chile. Okay, just do it. That's fine. It's in Chile. Everybody's getting stoned anyway.
You don't want to see your grandma high.
I don't care.
You
want to
see your
meemaw
high?
Sweet.
No, you don't. Not if she's just super. Not if she has a really bad response to it.
More cake, man. We're done. Vanessa and Gallant are next right here on ESPN 97.5. And 92.5. I'm talking about HRP. I'm talking about my people who I really, 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 we really love what Mike Holly and Chris and Kevin and all the great people over at HRP do for us. It's just been sensational. It's been a great partnership for us, and it will be a great partnership for you too. Listen, there are other payroll companies that are going to say, look, here's our payroll. Here's our number. Here's how much we're going to charge. And I'm telling you, I'm promising you, you will pay more to that company than you will to HRP. Because then they're going to stick you with their insurance. They're going to stick you with their 401k and their benefits packages. And this is how they make their money. Don't be fooled by a lower payroll number, because that's how they lure you in. I don't want to say it's like drugs, but that's how they lure you in, and then they got you. and then they make a boatload of money off of you. At HRMP, they do the payroll and the HR, and they let you choose what you want in your benefits packages because they don't do that. So if you're looking for an honest, straightforward, great price on your payroll, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.